I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome back to the Stat Monday Football Podcast. This is episode 73. On today's episode, we're going to talk the news and then we're going to talk a little bit of Manchester United ins and outs for the summer. As I did a little show on full-time Devils, I thought I'd give you a little the extended version over on the Stat Monday Football Podcast. Of course, if you're new to the podcast, drop a little review on iTunes and of course drop that sub button as well. And we'll be rating your reviews on Friday with Nico_O Morales. But anyway, let's get to the news. Lots of news, lots of goings on in the world of football today. So first up, breaking news as of this evening, Manchester United have reportedly turned down a £60 million offer from Real Madrid for David De Gea. That's reported by Sky Sports. Sky Sources, once again, breaking the transfer news to us. A really interesting one, Manchester United and Mourinho taking a strong approach to Real Madrid and to David De Gea. Mourinho obviously wants to keep David De Gea. Obviously, he's playing hardball like Louis van Gaal. He didn't play David De Gea in the final of the Europa League because he was doing what Louis van Gaal did at the start of the season with De Gea that season. If De Gea joined Real Madrid, he wasn't playing him. He wasn't playing in the first month in the August of that window. And obviously, the transfer broke down at the end of the window. Mourinho seems to be doing the same thing, playing hardball. Maybe it'll work. Obviously, David De Gea is regarded as one of the best goalkeepers in the world. He is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. He's grown at Man United from a weak, tepid goalkeeper to one of the best keepers in terms of command of his area, command of his box, with crosses, with one-on-ones. He really owns those duels and those situations. That season under Louis van Gaal as well, he won United around 12 points, I worked out that season, which is incredible for a goalkeeper. Strikers, good strikers win teams around 10 points, 11 points, 13 points. And David De Gea just came up trumps, games against Everton that he was just fantastic. So many brilliant reaction 1v1 saves against Liverpool as well. David De Gea is a world-class goalkeeper now. Whether United should sell him or not, I've got sort of two approaches to this. One, as a fan, I kind of think you don't want to be at Manchester United. So what? Elsewhere, go to Real Madrid. Then if you don't feel like you want to be part of this new revolution at Manchester United, the Mourinho revolution with Paul Pogba, with Ander Herrera, Juan Mata, Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford, Antoine Griezmann potentially, Perisic, the list goes on and on and on. If David De Gea doesn't want to be that guy, then maybe it's time to move him on. But, the analyst in me's kept the most clean sheets in the Premier League for any Manchester United goalkeeper now with 75 clean sheets. And the saves, as I mentioned before, unbelievable. So Man United, if they wanted to play hardball, they want to keep their asset, they could, push Real Madrid further and further and further. I don't think, it appears that maybe Mourinho doesn't want players or Real Madrid don't want to negotiate with players in terms of lads that you could bring across. Obviously, James Rodriguez, but you wouldn't do a direct swap. It would be James Rodriguez plus cash. If you're looking at someone like Rafa Varane, been a little bit injury prone over the last season, you're not going to get any of the first teamers. You're not going to get an Isco, you're not going to get a Casemiro, a Kroos, a Modric, a Ronaldo. I doubt you're going to get Gareth Bale. That would be a quality swap, but again, Gareth Bale's had a little bit of problem with injury this last season. But of course, for Manchester United, it would be fantastic. And that's why I'd do this if I was United. It'd potentially be demanding one of these first team players if they want David De Gea. David De Gea is our first team goalkeeper. Why not play hardball with him? And Mourinho is doing very, very well to do that. Whether he's at Man United next season, I do not know. I'd probably, at the moment, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on David De Gea being a Real Madrid player by the end of the transfer window. Another goalkeeper news, though, moving things on. Edison has joined Manchester City, apparently reported by the Portuguese press. That is done for €40 million. We reported yesterday that it's the only reason why the deal hasn't gone through is because there's three parties involved in this transfer negotiation. There is Benfica, a third-party business that owns him, and, of course, Manchester City. The problem is Manchester City cannot deal with this third party, so Benfica needs to deal with that first, and then, obviously, Manchester City needs to pay the cash and get Edison to City. I mentioned yesterday would be a fantastic addition. Whether he's the right guy for Pep Guardiola, it's going to be a difficult one. City, what have now spent over €60 million looking for goalkeepers when they had that Joe Hart there, who I feel Pep could have worked with and coached, although he hasn't had the greatest of seasons. It is a real interesting one that they are spending so much cash on so many different keepers. Another news, big, big news for Arsenal. Arsene Wenger has signed a new 2-year deal at the club, which is an interesting one. Wenger, in recent weeks, has done some real good stuff, and I was really impressed, like I mentioned yesterday, about the FA Cup performance against Chelsea. It was wonderful. And if he can keep these guys, you know, the Sanchezes, the Ozil's, who today the Times are reporting that both want to leave Arsenal, Sanchez in the summer, Ozil next season on a free transfer, it's going to be a bit of a battle for them. They've been linked with a Belgium striker, I can't remember what the fella's name's called, you know, a young talented striker from Belgium, 19 years old, scored goals this season, but it could be quite interesting to see Wenger go back to that model I mentioned yesterday of picking up these young talented players. A little quote of Chamberlain on Mesut Ozil: he's the coolest guy ever. He's one of those guys, I'll have a spare flight somewhere and say, do they want to come on holiday with me? I've got you. And you're like, yeah, I'd love to. Then you take off with him. So it's quite interesting. Ozil seems to be a cool customer over at Arsenal. But really interesting news. Arsenal not going to get Thomas Tuchel, not going to get Nagelsmann. Stick with Arsene Wenger for two more seasons. But anyway, I don't know what I'd do if I was Arsenal board. I'd probably move him on and get a young, talented coach. We've seen what some of those guys have done in the European game in recent seasons. Yardim, obviously Nagelsmann, who I mentioned before. I just think it's time to potentially move on for Arsene Wenger. So today we've got to identify some news that was utter rubbish. Francis Pugh, a freelance French sports journalist, broke some news that was rubbish, that Aubameyang had joined PSG for around €70 million, Aubameyang pocketing a cool £10 million per year. But it was utter rubbish. It was, you know, Dortmund came out, Zorg came out and said, so far there's been no official bid for Aubameyang from any club, which is quite interesting. You know, we've got to watch out for these guys on social media that are looking to get followers and getting retweets from saying that they're breaking deals and they're doing this and they're doing that, when frankly, it's quite a load of rubbish. So if you want to send them any messages on Twitter, that's at F8PIRAUX. What a muppet. But anyway, some news from the papers, which also make stuff up for fun. They're saying that Barcelona are actually interested in Aubameyang. Dortmund want him as a backup to Luis Suarez. I don't know whether Aubameyang would want to take that at this part of his career. They're reporting that it's going to cost €90 million to bring him to Barcelona, a little bit more than the €70 million that was reported by our French colleague before. Anyway, in real news, apparently Jordi Cruyff is likely to be joining the Barcelona technical staff, Johan Cruyff's son, which would be quite interesting. Apparently he's going to be doing the transfer work with Robert Fernandez, who currently is there, which could be quite interesting. Obviously Cruyff, a great thinker of the game, so maybe his son has some of that initiative. It was a fairly decent player, had a spell at Manchester United, of course. But maybe it's where he'll shine in the back room, picking up players and doing the scouting and so forth. In other news in Spain, Atletico Madrid, it appears that the transfer ban will be upheld, with there reported to be 65 serious cases of them signing underage players, which is an interesting one, given the Manchester United are looking to sign Antoine Griezmann. Atletico won't be able to register Lacazette. Apparently that deal had been signed off, the money had been agreed, the fee that he was going to be paid in wages had been agreed. But now if this transfer ban is upheld, then that won't happen. But it's quite interesting, obviously Griezmann has a release clause in his contract, so it is about United putting the right bid on the table. It's just whether Griezmann would leave Atletico in this position where they'd be really lacking a top quality forward. But you know, money talks, and this Griezmann thing is going around. He's doing loads of PR and stuff. There was one I watched today, a French company, I don't know what they were even selling. I think it was a phone that was basically taking pictures of Griezmann, and Griezmann got a call on his smartwatch from Jose. Of course, the spin is starting to come. But anyway, in more Spanish transfer news, let's talk Barcelona, who have contacted Aspilicueta, reportedly, who is their second choice to replace Dani Alves, of course, they've not really replaced him at right fullback to Bellerin. It's an interesting one. Azpilicueta would offer a, you know, more defensive option than what Barcelona are used to at right back. That could be quite an interesting one. You know, get a defensive right back, then they've got Jordi Alba on the other side to be the offensive fullback. So it could really work under, of course, Valdeverde, who has taken over and took his first pictures today at Barcelona as Barcelona manager. And to stay in Spanish news, we've got some more Spanish news. Theo Hernandez, the player that's just apparently left Atletico Madrid and signed for Real Madrid, which is a bit of a no-no for me, signing for your cross-team rivals, has now not appeared at the under-21 French training camp and has been spotted on a beach in Marbella. This is ridiculous. This guy just seems like he's got a complete screw loose. Apparently his whole family played for Atletico Madrid as well before he signed for Real. You know, his father and his brother who plays there, Lucas Hernandez. And now Theo is just an absolute loose cannon. What is he doing? Who does he think he is? And someone needs to have a word before he really loses himself as a player and loses a lot of respect from his peers. Another transfer news, Rudiger reportedly agreeing a move to Inter Milan. That could be quite an interesting one. Obviously Spalletti taking him from Rome to Milan. Spalletti there, you know, taking over as Inter boss. All reports in the media are saying that. And in final little transfer news, Rangers have signed Bruno Alves, the Portuguese centre-back. Obviously, they're trying to compete and fight back for Celtic. Celtic, of course, winning the treble this season over in Scotland. I just really want the Scottish football to be competitive in Europe again. I want the old days back. The 1967 Champions League final, the Lisbon Lions versus Hector Herrera's Inter Milan. One of the games that goes down in history as a great final. Attack versus defence, the wingers versus the fullbacks and so forth. So I'd love them to get back up there. And obviously I think it was the day today might have been the day when, you know, in 1967, that, of course, they won the Champions League. Or the European Cup, should I say. But it is an interesting one. Rangers trying to be a bit more competitive. But signing someone like Bruno Alves, suppose you've got Colo Torre playing in that league and doing very well. Probably similar age, similar type of, you know, coming to the end of his career. So it's an interesting one. But, you know, credit to Rangers and credit to Celtic this season for hopefully bringing the competitiveness back in Scottish football. And, of course, because it's the Champions League final this week, there's been some more banter from Sergio Ramos this time, who said in the press yesterday that he sent an invite to Piqué for the final, but apparently Piqué didn't answer that invite. Of course, Piqué, Barcelona, Ramos, Real Madrid, colliding in those worlds, but lovely little bit of...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Banter. And some final bit of news for Manchester United. KPMG have valued them at €3 billion. The first club to be, over that mark, which is pretty incredible for Manchester United. But again, the Glazers weren't there, we'd have fought more money and so forth, blah, 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 blah. We all know that sort of rhetoric and that story. So finish things off before we talk about Manchester United Football Club, we're going to leave you with a Sir Alex Ferguson quote, which he made this week. I think you have a duty, a responsibility to entertain. We have to always remember there's a public to be entertained. In my time at United, it was as long as you win. If it was 4-3, okay. If it was 5-4, okay. My last game was a 5-5. I couldn't ask for a better score in my last game at Manchester United. Ferguson just talking about the responsibility of managers to entertain their fans. Attacking football, entertaining football, quick transitions is what I love, and I love Sir Alex Ferguson. What a hero, what a legend. And of course, that is ahead of Michael Carrick's testimonial, Manchester United 11 versus Michael Carrick 11. So that'll be a cracking game. Obviously, Patrice Evra getting super hyped on social media this week. It'll be an absolute blinder. But Carrick, for me, I remember him in the three great Manchester United midfields, Champions League midfields, I'm talking here, 2008 with Paul Scholes. Great relationship those two guys had. Michael Carrick's holding, sitting, Paul Scholes being a playmaker in midfield, controlling the game, but always having Michael Carrick as that shield in front of the back two. Then you move on to the 2009 team, Michael Carrick, Darren Fletcher, Anderson. What a midfield that was. Carrick was the dictator, the playmaker, the controller. Then you had Anderson's gusto, his energy, and also Darren Fletcher's ability to just sheerly beat people through determination. What a midfield. And then to finish things off, the 2011 midfield in the Champions League, United again getting to the final, losing to Barcelona. Paul Scholes coming to the latter stages. Ryan Giggs moved from left wing into central midfield and partner Carrick. It was similar to the Scholes-Carrick relationship, but it was Ryan Giggs and Michael Carrick. What a team that was. Javier Hernandez, with Wayne Rooney just in behind him. Great football, great stuff. But anyway, this moves us on to our talking point. So today I did a show with Full Time Devils. Go and check it out on YouTube. That was three signings in for Manchester United, three signings out. So just before we dive in, a lot of people have been outraged on YouTube today and on Twitter for Stephen Howson and Adam McCullough butting in when I was dropping some stat bombs. Yeah, a little bit unhappy about that. But of course, just a bit of banter. Friendly banter between the chaps. So obviously don't send them death threats, but obviously give them some back off me. That'll be great. But anyway, let's talk about Manchester United. And the show today was on who would I personally, with Manchester United, three players I'd sign, three players I'd bring out. So first out, the players that I'd get rid of Manchester United. I found it quite difficult just because I don't think there's that many players I'd get rid of at the squad at the moment. I think Mourinho's done very well to trim the rubbish, especially in central midfield. Thinking Schweinsteiger, Morgan Schneiderlin out. I think there's... it's a good squad at the moment. I don't think there's too many players from that the first 11 that should be should be chucked out. Obviously, the big talk is of players that should go at the moment. You've got Ashley Young there, Smalling, Jones and Smalling's a difficult one because, again, I've got that inclination that one of those guys will be a real good defender when they hit like 28. They'll just get it all click for them. So by already spending so much time investing in them and having their, having them have these sort of dodgy spells of injury and so forth, I feel like you've just got to invest in one of those guys. I wouldn't get rid of both of them this summer. If you get rid of one, probably going to go with Chris Smalling. I feel Phil Jones is a little bit more suited for Louis van Gaal's Manchester United, but both brilliant defenders. I don't think I'd get rid of them. They do have these lapses in concentration. They're not going to be great defenders, but they're good defenders. You know, when you put them in the right system, they can play well. But it is an interesting one. There were calls for both of those guys to go from the two other lads. But I kind of think, keep them for a little bit longer, especially until Manchester United sign another top-class centre-back. But we'll talk about the centre-backs I'd like to sign a little bit later on. Moving on to the players that were mentioned to be moved out, Ashley Young again. But I feel Ashley Young gets Man United. He understands Man United. He understands the club. Yes, he's on 120 grand a week. And clearing out his wages would open up a space for somebody in the squad. Maybe a young player, maybe someone signed could be a good option. But at the moment, I just think he's done a good job under Mourinho. Mourinho trusts him, so I don't think he'll be sold in the summer. In terms of players that I thought should be, not signed or should be let go, first up, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Yes, he's been fantastic for United this season, been directly involved in 46% of their goals, but the knee injury, bad injury, MCL, ACL, that's a terrible combination of injuries. That is going to be, if he can get back to the level he was playing at Man United this season, I'd be surprised. 17 goals and 5 assists in the Premier League was fantastic, but it's time for Manchester United to move on from the days of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's been fantastic. His spell's been a little bit reminiscent of Henrik Larsson's spell at Manchester United, a little bit longer, but still had that massive impact. An old player coming in, being a wise head in a time when Man United were transitioning from Louis van Gaal to Mourinho. But I feel it's time for Paul Pogba to be the head honcho at Manchester United. In terms of players that I would get rid of, Jan Azai, I think Jan Azai's time to move on for him and for Manchester United. It's time for Adnan Jan Azai to potentially take a new challenge, take a new step. The loans haven't really worked. Dortmund, Thomas Tuchel had a bit of an issue with his work rate. He's been pretty poor under David Moyes, inconsistent, not really directly involved in any goals, which is a big thing from a young winger or a player that you expect to do that. So what I propose for Manchester United, insert a buyback clause to whoever they sell it to, let him go away somewhere else, maybe back to Belgium. Bax Tom DM'd me on Twitter today and said, he watched the show and maybe a good idea would be moving back to Belgium. Well, why not Anderlecht? They've lost their key man in Yuri Tielemans. They need a guy now maybe in attacking midfield to come in. Maybe Jan Azai could be that guy back in Belgium, speaking his native tongue. He could be adjusted there. And why not United sign him back in a few seasons when he's matured a little bit, when his game's up to that right level that it can be. Jan Azai was so good that season under David Moyes. He was fantastic at attacking midfield. If you forget, the United was so poor that year, and it was like Marcus Rashford, and that's what the impact was. It was like having Marcus Rashford that season, that Rashford exploded on under Louis van Gaal, made massive impact. Jan Azai was the same, and I do think he's got the talent. He's got two very good strong feet. He just needs to get that work back. He needs to work hard, get up to the level of where he can do, and then he'll be a fantastic player for Man United when they buy him back. In terms of players that I think should be put in the bin, sold, gone, Varela's one definitely. That tattoo stunt was ridiculous. You've not heard about it. So the DFP Pokal Cup finals this weekend, Eintracht Frankfurt versus Borussia Dortmund. Frankfurt have had a fantastic season in the league, but getting to a cup final is massive for their club. They've got a fantastic fan base on manager Steven Alisson's way to RB Leipzig to watch them play. They were playing Frankfurt. We met a fella on the train, a very passionate support base. I quite like Frankfurt. I like the feeling around the club. And they've had a fantastic season. But Varela, cup final, was told by the club not to get a tattoo. He went out and got the tattoo. It got infected and he couldn't play in the cup final. They lost 2-1 in that cup final. Maybe Varela could have made an impact, you know, and you never know with these things. So it's big for Varela. It's just one of these situations where he's made a stupid decision and unfortunately it's going to cost him a lot of money in his career. That's how he's going to look at it in a way. And the last guy that I'd potentially send out, not sell, but I'd send out on loan, Andres Pereira. I'd like to have a loan in the Premier League. That could be quite a good move for him. Or keep him around the squad. Either way, I don't know. I just want to see him get minutes. I think he's a wonderfully talented player. 3 assists, 5 goals, created 52 chances and completed 70 dribbles in La Liga this season for a very poor Granada team. I'd quite like to see him play for someone like Swansea, a progressive side. Similar with Jan Azai. Selling Jan Azai to Swansea could be a really good move for both Swansea and Adnan Jan Azai, a team that's going back to the Swansea way under Paul Clement. And someone like Pereira could be perfect playing one of these wide midfield roles, maybe wide on the left. With Gylfi Sigurdsson going out, they need a set-piece taker. Pereira could be that guy. But that could be a good move, Andres Pereira to Swansea, or just keep him in the squad and let him play the games in the EFL Cup, let him play the games in the FA Cup, get that game time in the Premier League as well, because he could make a big impact. He's got the potential to be a massive player for United, but maybe one more loan could be the perfect thing for the young lad, still 21 years old. But anyway, let's move on to the signings. First up, I'd bring Antoine Griezmann. Is the key guy. You know, Antoine Griezmann is the guy that I want most for Manchester United this summer. An elite forward, I would upgrade them in a defensive and attacking sense at attacking midfield. He's so clinical in front of goal, blah 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 blah. I've said this about 5,000 times. The stat though today, only Lionel Messi scored more goals from outside the area than Antoine Griezmann in the last two seasons in La Liga, so of course he's added that to his game as well. Antoine Griezmann number one. Number two, I'd like to go for Belotti. From watching Belotti more and more, I get more impressed every time I watch him. His work rate, his desire to win the ball, his desire to work for his team. He's the captain of Torino, got the armband against Palermo and scored a hat-trick in that game. The fastest hat-trick since January 2000, where Andrei Shevchenko scored a very fast hat-trick. Belotti's hat-trick for Torino was in 7 minutes and just 15 seconds as he got the captain's armband. That is the type of player I want. A player that stands up and fights for his team. In terms of what he is, he's an old-school striker, barrel-chested, likes to make the move to the back post, is strong, is physical, powerful, scores a lot of goals from crosses. 58% of his goals this season in Serie A have come from crosses, which is important for Manchester United. United crossed the ball the second most in the Premier League. Only Southampton crossed the ball more times per game than Man United last season. In terms of the goals United scored, only 5 teams scored fewer goals from crossing situations. United need somebody in there that's going to you know, dominate that area. Belotti, 10 goals with his head this season. I love him as a striker. I think he'll perfectly complement someone like Antoine Griezmann. A great assist for the Torino goal that I mentioned, the Falcao layoff. That is what Antoine Griezmann eats for dinner. You lay off the ball to Antoine Griezmann in the penalty area, he puts it away. I think Belotti-Griezmann could be so good as a pairing. Absolutely fantastic. Moving on to other pairs, of course, Perisic. I really want Perisic to sign for Manchester United, the Memphis Depay replacement, as I say, in Mourinho's squad. What Perisic would bring. Go on to my YouTube channel and check it out. That video's done very well. Thanks for the support over there. But go and check it out. I'll speak a lot about the why it makes sense that Perisic is moving to United, how he'd fit in, you know, his skills, what he's like as a player and so forth. So go and check that out. That is a cracking little video. Moving on to central midfielders, of course. I love Ander Herrera. I think he's fantastic. Him next to Paul Pogba could be a real good pairing. But, if United were to get a central midfielder, Fabinho from Monaco is the guy. Most tackles in Liga this season for Monaco. Most passes completed for Monaco, dictates the play, breaks it up, simple as that. Give it to Paul Pogba, let Paul Pogba do what he wants, and that is a midfield pairing of power and pace. We've seen Bakayoko, Fabinho this season. Fabinho, Pogba would be so good, so hot, so tasty. Sorry, get so hyped about Fabinho, he's a great guy. In terms of the last guy that I spoke about in the full-time Devils video that I also think would be in my top three to sign if I was in charge, Emil Forsberg. Top assister in Europe this season, second in the Bundesliga behind Pascal Gross in terms of chances created. What he is, though, is an elite creator. He's an elite forward that likes to drift inside and become a playmaker. And that's where I feel United are going. With the signing of Griezmann, with the signing of someone like Belotti up top, that space is going to get cleared out, which opens up space for inside forwards to move into playing, like someone like Juan Mata, someone like Forsberg on either flank, someone like Mkhitaryan that likes to come into that zone. Someone like Perisic likes to come into that zone, could work really well, but I feel Emil Forsberg right now is at the peak of his game, and whoever picks him up next will potentially be his last club, 25 years old, could see him staying there for a long time. It reminds me a little bit about Pavel Nedved, about him, how he carries himself, how he has great technique and ability to cross and score goals and so forth, but it's the speed of the counter-attack where Emil Forsberg does so well in terms of grabbing his assists and orchestrating it for RB Leipzig, who've scored more goals than any other team in Europe's top five leagues on the counter this season. As United transition to a more counter-attacking team, why not get someone like Emil Forsberg? The second big point is he's good at set pieces, something United have struggled with this season. One of the worst records in terms of scoring goals from cross free kicks and corners in the Premier League this season. Forsberg is the top assister in Europe with, of course, Toni Kroos of that little bracket. In terms of the specialist move, it's that near post ball for Timo Werner to flick and score home. Those two have combined, I think, five times. All the assists that he's got from corners have gone to Timo Werner, so that could be a good relationship between Belotti and Emil Forsberg. But that's in a dream world where I don't think that would happen under Manchester United, so maybe Perisic is the guy to come in on that left wing. But anyway, guys, that's been a little extended three in, three out from today's FTD show. Make sure you go and check out Full Time Devils. They're great guys over there. And of course, subscribe to me on YouTube, check me out and follow me on Twitter. And that's been that for the Stat Monday Football Podcast. Over and out. See you later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.